for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 643 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, writer Lee Durfee LaVoie returns, and he's talking about his new book, Sink or Swim. This book is the latest in the Just Roll With It universe. Sink or Swim is described this way. Summer's here, school's out, the pool's open, and new adventures with friends await. But what happens when 12-year-old Ty's anxiety has other plans? We discuss how this book came to be, who the characters are in this new graphic novel, and what we can expect from Lee in the months ahead. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. Summer is here, school's out and the pool's open, and new adventures with friends await. But what happens when 12-year-old Ty's anxiety has other plans? From the world of Just Roll With It comes a boy-centric graphic novel about accepting yourself even when it's a little scary. And it's great to welcome back to the podcast Lee Durfee LaVoie, the creator of such good things as we talked about Just Roll With It before, and now Sink or Swim, which is coming out on June 4. How you doing, Lee?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me back.
It's good to talk with you.
Yes, thank you. I'm very excited to be back here. As I was saying before we started recording, I had a great time the last time I interviewed with you. I really wanted to make sure I was able to come again and to be able to promote the second book. It's really exciting. So thank you for letting me talk nonstop to you for the next 45 minutes about it.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, and let's follow up a little bit about Just Roll With It. How did that do overall when things were said and done?
I think it did, really well. I mean, we were lucky enough to, we actually, Veronica and I just came back from a trip to Columbus, Ohio, because a school group out there had read Just Roll With It as like an after school program. And they invited us out to speak. So we got to go to Columbus and speak to a couple of kids out there who had read it and really liked it. And so, I mean, to still be able to do stuff like that, almost 3 years, after the first book comes out, we're really, honored by that and, really lucky. I think the book did really well. I think, you might not see it on the New York Times bestseller or anything, but, we were at a different event one time back in my home state of Rhode Island, and we were at a local school, and they had introduced us, and the person they got to introduce us before we talked about the book was a young fan, a young girl who had read the book 21 times. So we were like overjoyed, and to be able to meet her, we were like, she was a fan of us, but we were like, no, we're a fan of you. We see your copy of Just Roll With It, and it's all beat up, and you've obviously, loved it and cared for it and carried it around with you, and to read it so many times is such an honor for us to hear. We actually also, we were delighted in a different event, after we had gotten the initial, advanced copy for Sink or Swim, we were able to meet her again, give her a copy. So she was able to read through it as well. And she liked it, so good things. So good things around for Sink or Swim, I think, because she liked it too. So
okay, very good. I have to tell you, my roommate wrote a comic book, and we were out. We were up in Virginia, and there were two stores, comic stores, that were like across the street from each other. And we went in the one focused on statues and like current issues, and the other one across the street had sort of back issues, and they also did current stuff, but they were much more book oriented than the other store was. So we went to the statue one first, and we didn't see anything we were really interested in. We went to the one across the street, And there was a girl behind the counter, and it was on a Tuesday, so she was getting ready for Wednesday when new books came out. And she, we were there, and we were talking with her, and then my roommate said, well, you know, I wrote this book. I've been writing this book. And he mentions the name of it, and she stops. Mm-hmm. She runs around the counter, and she flings her arms around him. I love that book. Oh, it's so good to meet you. I can't believe it. It's such a wonderful book.
That's so cool.
He was so flabbergasted. You know, it's still one of the things he talks about years later. But it was, you know, he just did not expect that. If I don't know, I'd have taken a picture, but I didn't know it was coming. I was a little worried when she ran around the counter, and boy, she went on and on about how much she loved it, and she couldn't stop reading it. She couldn't wait for the next issue. On. And I said to him later, I said, I hope you remember this.
Yeah, that's, I'm sure he's going to probably, probably remember that for the rest of his life. That's so cool. You know, this event we were just at in Columbus, you know, it's so cool meeting kids who have read the book and really liked it, because, you know, each kid is obviously different. But, you know, sometimes you get the more excited kid who runs right up to you and is like, I really like the book, and they want you to sign it or whatever, and they just want to talk to you. And that's like, that's awesome. And then you get, you know, the shyer kid whose parent is like, you know, they actually really liked it. They're just shy. And we get to also talk to them. And it really is like the most like endearing kind of like wonderful thing, because it doesn't have to make any list. It doesn't have to make $1 million, but you get that one person who, you know, really resonated with something that you created and spent a long time on. And to get that recognition is probably like the best feeling in the world. So I'm sure he'll remember that for a long time.
Well, you know, making comics is a very solitary thing.
Yes.
You're writing and you're doing it, and then you're working with the artist and you're interacting and you're doing all this stuff, and it gets to the printer and the printer sends it out and you don't hear anything. You know, nobody hears anything, and you wonder, does anybody actually like my book? Mm-hmm. You know, because you've been sitting there for so long, and it's kind of a naked thing too, you know. Here's this thing that you've invested so much into it, and all of a sudden, you know, it's out there, and you're dying for a reaction. And I told him, just like you so many times, you look for the little things. We were at New York, and he had like the first 4 issues of the book out, and this one guy came by with his father, and he said, "Well, I'll buy one." So he bought the first one, and the next day, who comes back but the son and the father? And the son buys all the rest of them. And
awesome.
Son goes away, and the father says, you know, he wouldn't let me get away without bringing him here to buy the rest of them today.
That's so cool.
And, you know, just like I said, in your comics creative, this is the stuff you live for. And there's been so many people, because I've been there with him, and I'm an editor. I don't, you know, the editors are like Batman. We want the shadows. We don't, our job, we don't want the spotlight. And this one guy came up, we were at Heroes Con, I think it was. And this guy came up to me and started telling me what a wonderful book. I said, you know what? I said, the creator is standing right over there. If you'd go and tell him that, all I can do is repeat what you say. You go and tell him, he'll be happy, you know. And he did.
Good.
So that's the thing about this. Now, one of the things I've got to talk about your books, they always have a personal connection mm-hmm. to mine. And this new one just hit home. Let me read a little bit more of the introduction that's on Amazon. It says, bouncing back from a broken arm should be no big deal. But when Ty spends a month off the swim team, the thought of getting back in the water is suddenly not as fun as it used to be. After weeks of ignoring his friends, Ty isn't sure how to connect with them in summer camp. They used to have the swim team together, but after so long without swimming, he's out of shape and afraid of falling in front of them or failing in front of them. With his friendships fracturing, will Ty be able to gain confidence in himself and fix everything before it's too late? Now, see, when I was a kid, I was learning to ride a bicycle, and I accidentally crashed into a brick school building.
Oh, no.
And I broke my right arm. And I got up off the bicycle, and I knew something. Things were wrong, and I ran back to my house. And they put my arm on paper when we got there, and they had to straighten it out and put it in the cast. mm-hmm. you know, and it was 6 weeks before I saw my arm again.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when they cut the cast off, there was this pale, unusual looking thing there that I hadn't seen in weeks. And I was so afraid that it wouldn't work right. I looked at it and looked at it, and it took me a long time, like weeks, before I was able to kind of trust it again.
Yeah.
And then the next summer, what do I do? It's 2 days before school's going to start. I'm running along in the yard, and I fall, and I hit my left arm on a rock.
Oh, no.
And I heard this crack, and I thought, oh, no. Oh, no, it can't be that. Not 2 days before school. So there I was going back to school with a cast on my left arm. And when you've got a cast on, you're the strange oddity in the room. Nobody knows quite what to say or do with you. So this book, I relate to it because, you know, he's you know, when you're wearing a cast and you can't do the stuff that you normally would do.
Yeah, it takes a lot of getting used to. I broke my arm once or twice. And I remember the first time that it happened, which was really embarrassing, actually, is I was doing a pull-up, and I fell, and I just fell right on my arm. I remember this whole thing. It gets so itchy, too, in the cast. You're not using it. The thing that really, like, sat home for me that was like, oh, I messed up, wasn't the pain. It was I bent down to tie my shoe, and I couldn't do it anymore because I didn't have – you know, the full access to the other hand. So I had to try and do it one handed. And, you know, I didn't really think too much about my own experience with breaking the arm until literally just now. But it's still such like a visceral, like moment, a visceral like memory for me of that, like awkwardness. It was a personal connection there for me as well.
Well, where'd the story come from? I mean, this didn't grow out of your experience having a broken arm. Where did it come?
It's for me, it was less about the arm and it was more about the weight that Ty has and the body image issues. And, you know, after we had done Just Roll With It, you know, Veronica and I were talking, what's the second one going to be? And, you know, you kind of spin off like, okay, so the first one was like, you know, quote unquote, like girl centric. And we talk about OCD and we kind of riff stuff from Veronica's personal life and, you know, her experience with OCD and my experience helping her with her OCD. And it becomes, you know, for Maggie, a very internal issue. And not that she doesn't have external issues in the book and not that Ty doesn't have internal issues in the book, but we were like, okay, girl internal, so the next one could maybe be boy external, and what does that look like? And then, okay, you know, for me, my biggest or one of my biggest issues anyways growing up was my weight and the way that I looked and that I wasn't as slim or as athletic as other kids in the class, and I just didn't like it, and it took me a really long time to be comfortable with that. And you know, actually in the acknowledgement of the book, I, you know, kind of apologized to my past self that it took me so long to get over that or to come to an understanding with it anyways. And so that was kind of the premises, the inciting incident for Sink or Swim was, you know, what can I take that meant so much to me, as a kid? It was so scary and that I still don't really see talked about a lot, like with, because you know when people talk about like representation of like body image issues and self image issues and self worth and stuff like that, it's, you know, media kind of skews towards a very girl centric storytelling, and you know that's not every girl's story, but you know some guys have that same issue, and it's, you know, overall, it's good to see that representation of a different issue because, you know, you could also be going through that. And just like for Just Roll With It, we wanted to, you know, kind of send something back to ourselves and to kids now who are reading it. Like, you know, you're not the only one who's ever dealt with this issue that, you know, other people feel the same way. And that means, you know, you're not alone and that things will get better. We wanted to do the same thing with Sink or Swim. So yeah, so that's where that came from. It was a lot of, kind of ripped straight from the headlines, stuff of my life, even if, you know, I was never on the swim team and I certainly wasn't the captain like Ty was, but, the core issues that he faces, were some of the same core issues that, I felt as a kid.
It's funny because when I was in, I was always I like to call it a jolly kid. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, I can't wear costumes and stuff because I'm too jolly to get into them and stuff. And when I was growing up, I finally got to high school and I thought, that's it. I'm going to lose weight. And I was a junior, I think, in high school. And I just went on a diet and I really lost a bunch of weight. And when I was a senior, I was not used to being one of the slim kids in class. And I was over in downtown where I was growing up, and I was going through a store, and all of a sudden I heard a girl squeal. And I turned and looked over, and, oh no, he saw me, they went. And, you know, as a chunky kid, I never got that reaction. So I was like, oh, okay, somebody's drawn to me. I thought that I never had that experience before. And so I never saw that girl again. She must have hid from me after that. But it was such a weird change for me. And this is kind of, he's going in the other direction, Ty is.
Yeah, you notice there's, you know, the perception that other people have about you can really be demoralizing. And for Ty, it's not that he doesn't even have confirmation other people think of him a certain way, but it's that anxiety of that internal talk that's like, oh, they definitely do though. They definitely think this is bad and you should think it's bad. And all that kind of stuff is, you know, is something that you know, kind of notice as you get older. I think that like a lot of it is, you know, it's other people's perceptions as well as your own that can really mean a lot, good or bad. But yeah, no, I never got that reaction from anybody, but I remember anytime I would get attention for the way that I looked in school, it wasn't, you know, I never got like really bullied or anything like that, but there were moments, you know what I mean? Where you're aware of what other people think about you. Like that's not the best feeling.
Right. I remember all those. I remember one time when they had, they played a game when we were kids called Red Rover. Red Rover, let such and such come over. And I was like the last one because I was not athletic. So what I did is I used my weight to my advantage when I barreled right toward these kids and they moved their arms rather than have me hit them. So I said, I use it to my advantage, but you know, it was really demoralizing to be like the last one to be called over. And so there's so many things in these books that just get me now. So Ty, is he a creation of you guys' imagination? Is he like a putting together of different characters? Where'd he come from?
He's a character, you know, we created, but some of the internal stuff, I feel kind of bad because sometimes the way that I think of creating characters is just like, okay, what, mental health issue am I going to give you from my life? Or like, what problem are you going to have that I'm dealing with at the moment? We Veronica is especially, because obviously she's the illustrator and she's the one drawing them, you know, we try to really pay attention to, like what people look like in real life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What skin color do people have? What hairstyle do people have? What body shape do they have? So really Veronica had free reign for that, but the building up of him was obviously the weight, it was going to be an issue. So he was going to be, heavier, fatter, chunkier than, other people in the book. And then, you know, like you said, what other issues can we give you? You know, what character traits that we do we really like? What, and you know, also thinking like, how do we make sure that you're not just Maggie part two, which, you know, for me involves a lot of, you know, trying to ask the character like a bunch of questions, you know what I mean? Like playing 20 questions, like, you know, what's your favorite food? What do you like? What do you don't like? What's your favorite television show or whatever, right? Like, what kind of video games do you like to play? Just to try to build that, like, individualness and individuality to the character.
Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing in this book that I couldn't relate to was summer camp. I never went to summer camp, and so for me it was kind of an education to see what was going on. But I've talked to creators in comics, like Scott Snyder, for example. He went to summer camp, and that's where he got his love of horror, of all things. He had a guy that was in they had a certain a place where they slept, and the of all things, what the guy would read to the kids at night before they went to sleep was Stephen King novels.
Oh, no.
And he fell in love with Stephen King novels. And when he got older and stuff, he actually got to write comics with Stephen King and stuff like
that's
that.
That's awesome. I was talking about this actually on a different podcast yesterday. If you know Comics for Fun and Profit, we were talking about this yesterday. But Stephen King, his prose is, and not that I'm a horror writer by any stretch, but his pro stuff and you know it, Cujo, Misery, what's another one, Pet Cemetery, all those that I read in school were really influential to me. I have his book on writing on my desk right now, actually, because it was something I read in a creative writing class in high school. So influencing a lot of different creators out there, Mr. King. I never went to like a summer camp like Ty does, that's structured like that and run by other people. My family would go to a campground for like a weekend or two out of the summer, and that was always a lot of fun because it's a different place. You know, you kind of get the chance to sort of reinvent yourself a little bit because now you're going somewhere else for a few days. And it was just I have very fond memories of it. I actually, part of it burnt down, and then we stopped going, but they rebuilt. But I did have fond memories of it. So that was one of the reasons we kind of picked that. This was a good place for him to be. That's fun and exciting, and then it has a lot of sort of connotations to it, right? Like, it's summer camp, supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be exciting, like that. But then Ty has all these internal problems that now all of a sudden, oh, this exciting thing that he was looking forward to is now going to be flipped on its head. It's going to kind of further trap him as his own issues are entrapping him in himself as well.
That's one of the great things about this book is we watch his development. It's 320 pages, if I read correctly. And you know, the good news is you don't have to, like, a 20-page comic make a lot of stuff happen in a hurry. What you can do is you can show how things gradually develop. And I was really impressed by how you kept track of his motion in this whole business and dealing with this stuff. And we get to see bit by bit how he puts his life back together again to be the way that he wanted. And I found that real encouraging that, you know, everybody wants things to be a huge, you know, snap, and all of a sudden everything is the way you want it. But this book kind of tells people, be patient. Things are going to develop. Just take your time and let it happen, and you can get to where you want to go. It's one of the great messages, I think, of this book is to do that, is to, you know, be patient with yourself and watch things develop. So that's one of the messages I came away from this book with, and I have a feeling a lot of kids are going to really like that.
Thank you. Yes, we were very lucky that Penguin was, you know, really okay with it, letting it be as long as it needed to be. For Just Roll With It 1 and 2, the team we work with is really great. Our editor, Whitney, Danny Diaz, who runs Point on basically everything at Penguin for us, is super good. Our agent, Susan Graham, is fantastic. But like, the whole team is, the whole process from creating it from start to finish, they were really like, you know, let it be what it needs to be. And if you know, tell the story first. And if it needs to, we need to worry about a page limit or anything like that, we'll do it later, but tell the story. And luckily we're very lucky. We didn't have to cut anything. Everything was fine as is, really. But we were very lucky to be able to have that space, like you said, to let the story, you know, go, because like a wave, like he deals with the metaphor of the water, crashing in on them sometimes, you know, there are ebbs and flows to, you know, your mental health journey and just your day to day. Like not every day is the worst day ever. And I was always really annoyed by that. And, like if I read a book in health class or something like that in school, that was about mental health or an issue, like a capital I issue book. It was always very much like the worst thing ever. And everything was really like jam packed and really like compressed. And it always felt artificial because that's not really how life is. Like sometimes you are, you know, you have your days, you don't get out of bed and it's terrible and you don't drink any water, don't eat anything and you're just miserable. And then the next day you feel fine. And it's not that you don't have that problem anymore, but it's not the sort of cartoonish version of it where it's like the worst thing ever. You get to have that back and forth, up and down. That is like life. For you to also recognize that feels really good that you are also like, okay, I can see the path and the up and down. And I can have that time to breathe with Ty. So it feels good. So thank you for telling me that.
Well, I'm kind of curious as to how you developed the ability to tell that story. Are you guys drawing from your own lives? Are you drawing from somebody else's experiences? How did you manage? Because, you know, if I try to do a 320-page story, I'm not convinced I could make it quite as realistic as you guys did. So where did the ability or the information or the perception of how to make this happen come from?
Well, I guess the first step is a lot of communication. You know, Veronica and I live together. We work together. So it's always a lot of back and forth. You know, what do you think about this? Does this sound right? And then a lot of, like I said, a lot of work with the rest of our team at Penguin too is, you know, what feels real and, you know, a really long outline as well. The outline for Just Roll With It was like 11 pages long. The outline for Sink or Swim was probably just as long. And I put down everything I think of that needs to happen in that book. From like an emotional beat that I really want, an emotion I want in the feel on that page, or an action that I think would be really cool to see. You know, and then we build it up from there, and then it gets edited, and then Veronica actually has to put it to paper. And, you know, she thumbnails it out, and then, okay, that scene doesn't fit, so we need to break it up. We need to, you know, we move this around now. So this scene has to become two scenes. So maybe we take the second half, we put it somewhere else later, to thread that, you know, emotional, arc. And it's that constant, back and forth, that constant communication, constant editing, revising, because as much work as it is, and it is whatever, 6 months, 8 months to write the script for the 320 pages, it's not done by any stretch. It's really just begun at that point, at the time the script is done, because then, like I said, there's that whole long process from every stage that Veronica has to work through, thumbs, pencils, inks, coloring, et cetera, where you get that opportunity each time to further enhance the story. Because there's so much that happens when like Veronica does her part, where I'm like, oh my God, that's so much cooler than I thought it was going to be. Or, oh, I see what you mean, that this has to get reworked now. Or, oh wow, I didn't even think about that. But the way that she interpreted it on the page and the way that she colors it, you know, makes it this extra better thing. So it's a lot of a lot of constant work, but it's a lot of fun work. And it's a lot of very big Google documents.
Well, let me ask you one question, though, because I'm curious about it. Are you guys drawing from your own personal experiences, and that's how you know where the story should go? are you, is this your imagination coming together to make the story go? Because I'm just curious as to how you knew to tell such a realistic story. I'm happy to know the method of how you did it, but how did you know what to write? That's what I'm trying to get to.
It's both. It's both the, you know, the imagination and the creative process. And it is, stuff that not necessarily directly happened to me or her, but, you know, the core emotional moments of events or, issues that we had or things like that, or, you know, like Ty's overall issue of, you know, accepting his, the way that he looks and his body as is something that I go through every day. You know what I mean? I remember, maybe not the first time I was conscious of the fact that I was bigger than other kids, but I remember a moment in, I think, sixth grade, where a kid looked at me and I knew, I could sense like the judgment, from him. And I was really aware of like that I was, you know, heavier, fatter than other people. And it's something that I, you know, really struggled with for a long, long time. And so to be able to write, for a middle grade audience and to look back at those feelings that I had as a kid and to, you know, even if I never meet somebody who like had the same experience as me, right? There's somebody out there statistically that is going to go through the same feelings and the same awkwardness and the same struggle that Ty is. And so I wanted to be able to, you know, write that story that, that has all those ups and downs that we talked about, you know, like that has that ebb and flow and has that growth. And, you know, I hope as Ty grows up that he gets to that moment faster, a lot faster than I did. But you know, we want, just like we want to just roll with it, we want sink or swim. If somebody has a problem with the way that they look or the way that they feel they look, they have an issue with their body, they have an issue of their self-worth, you know, we want something that a kid can hold and be like, go to an adult with and be like, I feel like this. And this, if you read this, you understand me better. So it's a combination of my own, you want to call it trauma, whatever, personal growth. It's a combination of, you know, what feels right for the story. How can we make this emotional arc, this beat, this character journey work? And it's also writing for that target audience of somebody who might be hurting right now. And trying to keep all those things together and how they meld, how they don't meld. And that's kind of the guiding force of the story. And that brings that will kind of immediately bring things forward for you to work on. That's how it felt like to me. Sometimes, you know, writing the story isn't even like, oh, I'm consciously creating this idea. It's just like, it's just there. You know what I mean? It just spawns and you just have to put it to paper.
Well, it was interesting because I was so into the story, and there was I was constantly yelling at Ty, say something, because there's a part in which he needs to talk something out with somebody, and I'm literally yelling, say something, and when he finally does that, I remember I cheered because I was like, oh, finally. We got to that point, thank heaven. So it's so realistic and so well done that, you know, you can't help but root for the people and hope that things will work out. And it's so well put together.
Thank you. Because, Veronica and I both remember so vividly, like, those moments where, like, you know you're supposed to say something right now. You know what I mean? You have to talk. Like, you feel terrible. But the idea of actually doing something to fix it is almost more terrifying than how you feel at the moment. Because you know how you feel right now. You don't know what's going to happen if you talk to somebody. It could get worse. And basically never does in real life, listener. It really, truly almost never, ever does. 99.99% of the time it gets better. but that anxiety and that pressure is so all consuming. It's really hard to do that. And that also, by the way, is one of those things that, is kind of ripped from my headline. I have such a hard time telling somebody I have an issue with something. And it's something I'm like through the process of both books is something that I've gotten better at, by the nature of working with a team. And, you know, if I have an issue or I don't know what I'm doing with the book, you know, I have to ask somebody, otherwise everybody else is going to be let down. So it helps me in my personal life as well if I have an issue. But that's something I struggle with too right now, but I have to remind myself, literally every other time I've told somebody I have an issue and I need help, it's fine. You know what I mean? It's not the end of the world. Nobody looks down on you for needing help. You know, in fact, things usually get much easier when you are able to do that. So that's one of those other things. Like, yes, it's Ty's problem. It's also my problem.
Well, one of the things that I've learned over time is if you can find friends who share interests with you, that's often a springboard to do things. Like I have friends and we run discussion panels at Star Trek conventions. And we have done that for like 30 years. And the thing of it is we've gotten to be really good friends and we can really tell each other pretty much anything at this point because we've known each other and done stuff. And there's also that thing that we have gotten when we get up and do a panel, we don't have to rehearse. We know what each other is going to say and what's going to come up because we've had our own discussions privately. And basically when we get up in front of people, it's the same. It's a discussion, only now we're doing it in front of people, which is kind of fun. But those kinds of things, find people who share your interests. Yeah, it's a big deal because when you find somebody who likes what you like, it makes a huge difference for that. And I just, but of course, his swimming is the big thing with Ty. And what happens when that's taken away from you? That's the thing this book is asking.
There's so much that like for Ty that is realizing that you have to have that community around you and that isolating yourself. Is generally not a good idea.
Yep. Every time you blockade yourself off from people, that's never a healthy thing. It just never is. So this is the second book in the Just Roll With It universe. Are you guys thinking about a third one?
At the moment, no. But if, you know, Penguin wants to do a third one with us, we'd be happy to. if any other people at Penguin are listening. We have other stuff that are on submission right now that I don't know if we can really talk about. But
okay.
We have other projects up and coming, other universes we'd like to explore, other like genres and stuff we'd like to explore. But yeah, no, so far it's Just Roll With It and Sink or Swim has been a really nice universe for us to be in, to be able to really, you know, talk to kids and you know, talk to parents of kids and stuff, or parents or just readers who don't have any kids at all who have responded emotionally to it has been, you know, really fulfilling. And it, like I was kind of mentioning before, it really helps our own kind of personal journey with our issues. When we are able to recognize like, oh, look, we did something and it mattered to somebody. It meant something to that person.
Well, I got to say one thing that and I think we may have talked about this the last time. Your timing could not be better when it comes to putting out YA graphic novels. I mean, right now, YA graphic novels, if you go like to Target or to Walmart, there'll be aisles and aisles full of this kind of a book. And so I'm sure sometimes it's better to be lucky than it is to be smart. And sometimes if you're really lucky, you know, things come your way. And I don't know if you were lucky or just completely smart, but this is the time. The best time, I think, in you know, long time to do YA graphic novels. So, yes. I think smart.
Yeah, I don't know about you know, as much as I like to take credit for smart, I think it is a lot of luck. I think it is a lot of like, you know, like Raina Telgemeier with the the series that she did in Svetlana Chimkova with the Awkward series. I think books like that really kind of pave the way and really kind of make the market is what it is, because now, you know, publishers, you know, for better or worse, you know, the money is the incentive for publishers. So when they realize, oh, you know, it stories like this can make a profit, and then it's kind of that fulfilling cycle. Oh, it can make a profit, and then you see, oh, you know, this book, these books, you know, mean a lot to a really big audience. There's a lot of stories to tell here, and then, you know, people like Veronica and I get a chance to tell, you know, a sliver of a story for somebody. So yeah, I think mostly lucky, if I'm being honest, but, I like to take credit for smart, but I don't know. But, yeah, no, I mean, we have so many friends and so many, compatriots and contemporaries right now who are putting out like so much cool stuff that like every time you go in a bookstore, you're like, oh, wow, that's out. Wow, I can't believe they get to tell that story. Wow, that's so cool. Wow. Like, excuse me. So, yeah, it's a really great space to be in right now, because not only are all these interesting stories being told from so many different perspectives and a lot of marginalized perspectives that you don't really get to, you know, see every day on, like, TV or in the movies or anything like that, get to be told in this you know, smaller space. The community of creators that we've met has really been fantastic. Everybody we've met has been like the coolest person. So we meet the next person, then they're the coolest person. But it's just a lot of really smart, driven, intelligent, and really compassionate people on both sides, on the creator side and on the editor side and on the publisher side and on the agent side, like our agent, Cynthia Lewicesco, is also somebody who's been part of the team for the book, is also like, you know, so compassionate and smart. And so the space is really great. Is a really great space to be in right now. And we are very lucky.
Well, I've got to tell you, when I was in college, lo those many years ago, I was studying in a degree called English Communications, which was supposed to expose us to communicating, but as well, English part of it was so that we learned stuff and learned things to communicate. And one of the classes I took was called Children's Literature. Mm-hmm. And I came across, and this is, I tell you, you never know what influence you're going to have on somebody. I came across a book called The Summer of the Swans. And it was written by a woman named Betsy Byers. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with this thing. The symbol of the swans, when the swans were ugly and things were bad, this girl, main character, her life improved. And when the swans were beautiful, things got bad in her life. It was like this juxtaposition of her. And I was so in love with that book. I went through and I found every book of hers that I could. And every time I had a chance to write a review in that class, I was forever writing a Betsy Byers thing. And to this day, I still kind of keep my eye out for her. And yeah. Some people say, oh no, that was a man. That was just a ghost writing. But I found, you know, I found stuff where I really saw who she was. And I was like, nah, you can't take that away from me. I really enjoyed those books and stuff. So you just don't know what kind of an influence you're going to have on somebody. So I have a feeling that your books are going to do the same kind of things that Summer of the Swans opened up the idea that children's, quote unquote, children's literature could be engaging and enjoyable. And I think your books are probably going to do the same for a whole other generation.
No, thank you very much. That means a lot. Thank you so much. That's really sweet. Thank you.
Now, the thing I want to ask you is of course, you've mentioned that you've got other irons in the fire that you want to have happen. Are there other things that you guys are working on that you can talk about, or are you're busy behind the scenes right now?
Right now, it's busy behind the scenes. You know, and Sink or Swim, like we said, like it comes out on June 4th. So at the moment of recording, that's in like 2 weeks. So our immediate plans are a lot of you know, trying to do other events and stuff like that for Sink or Swim. We'll be in Boston twice, actually. We'll be in Boston on June 8th for the Boston Kids Comics Day for Sink or Swim. That's our next public thing that we can do, is if you want to meet us there in Boston. But otherwise, it's a lot of irons in the fire.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's a good thing. If you can't necessarily talk about stuff, the day will come when you can. And then that'll be something I want to be a part of when those things come around. Now let's talk about, if people want to follow you on social media, how do they do that?
I'm mostly active on Twitter. I do have an Instagram. I don't super use it, but if there's news about a book, you can find it on Instagram as well. Instagram is the one true Lee, which is the, and then one, like the number true Lee. You can follow Veronica on Instagram as well. Veronica's Instagram, is Wisbagram, which is WISBAGRAM. And then you can follow us both on Twitter. My Twitter is really simple. It's at Lee Durfee. You'll find me there. And then Veronica's Twitter is at new anew, which is ANUANEW. That's on Twitter. And so we'll both post updates and information about books and any other exciting projects we get to do in the future, hopefully. You can find them both there.
Okay. Again, it's called Sink or Swim, a graphic novel. It's in the Just Roll With It universe. If you go to Amazon, you can pre-order it, and you can actually get both the books together on Amazon, which is kind of cool. If you need, you're probably past the final order cutoff date at a comic shop, but I'm sure that they can probably get it for you if you don't want to get it through Amazon or other book organizations. But I highly recommend it. It's a very engaging book. I couldn't put it down when I started to read it, and I love a book that does that. I like a book that transports me into that universe where I'm away from reality for a while into a different reality. And Sink or Swim really does that to me. And 320 pages, you might think that's a lot. Not in this book. The pages fly as you're reading it. So it's just a great book, and I highly recommend it. And Lee, I wish you guys more success. I hope you guys do a whole lot more books, because we could stand some really good books, and this is certainly one of them.
Thank you so much. Thank you. We hope to come back for a third book, hopefully in the future, to be interviewed about.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
If you're enjoying this show, I would greatly appreciate your support. For $5 a month, you can ensure I'm able to bring you interviews with comic creators week after week. You can support the show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Check out that address, again, patreon.com/majorspoilers, for more information. Thanks in advance. And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.
So I leave, knowing that a world full of heroes has nothing to fear.